Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. And my very special guest, the infamous and the hilarious Joy Camp crew. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Glad to be here.
I love lighter side of genocide. I might use that at some point.
Go for your life, man. Everybody else steals my ideas. Why should you be any different?
I'll give you credit.
Yeah. Give me creds instead of creating an entire network based upon my ideas and stealing it and then using your platform to insult me and abuse me every single day and have all your trolls in the chat rooms and stuff.
Tell us how you really feel.
That's what I'm dealing with right now, yo.
Fair enough.
Hey, but look at it this way. If your ideas are good enough to steal, they must be a pretty freaking good idea, huh?
Yeah. They should be.
What is that, plagiary is the sincerest form of flattery? I just totally screwed up that quote, but something like that. Or something is the sincerest form of flattery.
Imitation,
not plagiarism. Imitation, is that right?
Yeah. Imitation is a form of flattery. Stealing somebody's ideas and masquerading it as your own is a form of scumbaggery.
Yes. Exactly how it goes.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. I'm good with the definitions, aren't I?
That was one of my definitions, right? You took that?
Yeah, well, scumbaggery.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great word, and it connotes something really heinous whilst at the same time being rather amusing, you know? Like Henry Kissinger.
Amusing.
Oh, the wonderful Henry Kissinger.
For a new world order.
Where did he get that voice from? Did he borrow it from Satan or something like that?
No, I think it's from eating babies.
I'm pretty sure he's not. It's because he's not a human being. I think.
Yeah, that's what a reptile sounds like after they've eaten a baby.
Yes. I like the baby flesh. Especially when they wriggle while I'm trying to eat the body still alive with my forked tongue.
He got a really scary voice. Have you noticed that some things, like there's an old saying that, not everything is as it appears. Some things are exactly as they appear, okay? Have you seen a picture of David Rockefeller? Oh my God.
Yeah, well, years of eating human flesh can do that to a person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at the queen. Yeah, God, Jesus Christ, it's scary. Oh. You ever see the picture of the queen holding a silenced pistol while she's driving a car?
Oh yeah, she's hot.
Nothing like a woman with a weapon.
Yeah, she's cold blooded. Just my time.
Oh yeah, cold blooded with a pistol.
That's why they call her Lizzie.
Exactly.
Hey, they just had a baby. Right? There was a baby alien just born. Recently, right?
I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. Everybody apparently, knows. They heard demon howls and a rattling of chains from within the birthing room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the lizard, I think, is now on the planet. Brand new.
The Antichrist is born, my lord. Get the groomer of the stool, pronto!
Exactly.
Somebody's got to wipe their butts, right?
Say what?
Somebody's got to wipe their butts.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I don't get that. And in fact, my friend Freighter X, he was used to live in, you know where Jekyll Island is, right, off of New York, and there's beach communities like that all over the place where they've got these massive frickin' mansions right on the beaches and things like that, and people only come there like a month or so out of the year. And he used to live there as a beach bum kind of thing. You know, I remember he was telling me this one time he was sleeping in a gas station bathroom for a period of time. And when these rich kids would come in and they'd have daddy's credit card and things like that, and they'd be able to, you know, they'd want to go out and do things. So they had these motocross tracks, and they'd go out and they'd do little jumps with their old bikes and things like that. And these kids would swarm in and buy these brand new bikes with all these beautiful pads and things like that, just straight off the bat. and they'd shout everybody drinks and things like that at their big mansions that daddy paid for and what have you. They'd be driving around in limousines. And they could barely even tie their own shoelaces. They couldn't make toast. They couldn't drive properly. And that's the thing, man. When everything is handed to you, everything that you you have as part of your body or your mind or your soul gets so weak that you become almost defenseless without everybody doing everything for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, well, they're also
all related. These are the people that control our society.
Yeah, they're also cousins, and inbreeding does not help.
And imagine if you took those people out of their situation, you got rid of their bodyguards and their security and their uniforms and take everything away from them that protects them. They're just these weak, pathetic people, maybe part people.
Helpless, like you said.
Helpless, and they're nothing. They're pathetic is the best word that I can think of for these people. They are just absolutely pathetic. So that's a good way and a good perspective to look at them. Is without everything that's surrounding them and protecting them, they're nothing. And that we can certainly be. So let's do it already, you know? What are we waiting for?
Well, you know, and this is the difference between the elite and people like us. People like us, we've got practically nothing. And we're fine. We're everything with nothing. And people like them, they're nothing if they don't have everything.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's like what I was saying earlier. I mean, I'm now an awake human being who is still learning, but I'm awake. And I couldn't be more at ease and at peace and centered and grounded in my life. I really enjoy my life in spite of all the BS. I mean, I'm a very contented human being, and I'm looking forward to, you know, the rest of my life because I am awake.
Well, it takes a while to deprogram, isn't it? I mean, how long did it take us to be programmed into the system, 20-odd years or something like that, before you start to kind of get the information sort of drip-feeding in it first, then it comes in a flood, and then it goes back to a nice flow, right?
Yep.
And eventually, all of the programming and all of the BS that we've been indoctrinated with will eventually come undone and go away. And I still think to a large degree I'm a little bit programmed, as we all are, you know. It's very difficult to deprogram from absolutely everything, to stop using everything that the system's given us. And you know, to be honest, I like the conveniences that the system has allowed me. You know, I do like it if it's like midnight or something, and I'm out at a club having a few drinks with a few mates or whatever, and cutting a rug, and then want to go get some food and be able to, you know, get a kebab at 2 o'clock in the morning. These kind of conveniences, I think, are absolutely fantastic. You know, this is great. But on the other hand, if you didn't have them, it wouldn't really matter all that much because you wouldn't miss it if you didn't have it. Kind of like kids in the 50s didn't miss PlayStations because it was called a backyard. That was your PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the key thing of balance comes into play, because if you can find the right balance between the convenience of the system at hand and what you really need and don't need between that, then you can live a really good life, you know, seeking the truth. And, you know, if you have to work the job or do what you have to do to get by and survive, you can live a really good, balanced life. I just got back from 4 days in the mountains with no computer, no phone, you know, no nothing. And, man, I stare at a computer screen 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, usually. So for me, that was it was very soothing to my brain to do that. And, you know, and then I get back home and, of course, I dive right back into it. But I think you need that balance, you know, so you don't got to feel bad about having your kebab at 2 o'clock in the morning and enjoying the convenience of this screwed up system that we're in. But you do got to find balance if you want to live a happy life, I think, for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting away from technology and computers, like I think I really only take about kind of 2 breaks a year. One for a couple of weeks in the middle of the year. I just kind of came back from that a couple of weeks ago, and one at the end of the year around Christmas. And during my breaks, I will genuinely make a concerted effort to not help anybody. You know, this is my time. Okay. Anybody wants requests of me on Facebook? I ain't going to know about it because I ain't going on my Facebook. Anybody wants me to answer an email or urgently turn up to film a protest? I ain't doing it because I ain't checking those emails. You know what I'm saying? Yep. You got to defracking attach. And it gives you perspective as well. And that's another thing that I like about hosting the show is because they have so many different people on every single day, you gain something that you don't with other radio shows, perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And we're lucky in two regards. One, we're lucky that we do have the internet because it unifies us. But second, we're lucky that we were the last generation that didn't have the internet. I mean, we grew up without computers. I mean, I had, right. you know, like really big, clumsy computers that I'd work on maybe for, you know, to learn how to touch type in second grade or something. But other than that, I mean, my childhood was spent outside. I didn't have to go on the internet to find entertainment. I mean, I was an active child who loved being outside with my friends. I mean, I'm glad that we got to experience that.
Yeah, very, very glad, because the kids of this generation are much, much different. And there is still hope in them, I hope, you know, but it's I couldn't trade having a childhood being surrounded by kids in the suburbs, playing in the desert and riding my bike and building forts for staring at a computer screen playing a video game. You know, I wouldn't trade that forever. So we're a very lucky generation, you know, the three of us here, to have been able to experience life before the internet, you know, what the internet is today.
Mm-hmm. Well, also we're
cell phones.
Well, cell phone EMF and EMR radiation sources are actually really freaking bad for you. And if you guys ever get the time, you know, go into my YouTube channel and search EMF or EMR, and you watch the presentations of Paul Waddell. I had him on the show, as well as film a presentation that he did at an Organics Expo. And you know that feeling that you get when you first become a truther, when you start to learn 9/11 was an inside job, that there's a genocide agenda, that vaccines are bad for you, that kind of thing, and you start to feel freaked out, somebody's trying to kill you, and you haven't had that sensation in quite a number of years because you've just gotten used to it. Oh, yeah, another person trying to kill me, another thing's trying to kill me, so on and so forth. You know, you get used to it. And then you watch this presentation, and it comes back all over you again, man, like it's that freaking bad. And as we were talking about earlier, and this is something I find very interesting, my nephews, they're already playing with my brother's iPad. You know, they're already playing iPad games and things like that. So they're from practically as soon as they can touch things and have motor reflex control, they're plugged into these electronic devices that are causing them cancer and getting into their brain pan.
Oh, yeah. And furthermore, have you seen there? I know there's multiple videos, but there's one in particular that I'm thinking about on YouTube of a baby holding a magazine, trying to swipe the screen, basically, or the magazine, trying to swipe the page as if it were an iPad, and getting really frustrated because nothing will swipe when she's trying it. That's mm-hmm. happening also. Furthermore, I also read that the earliest case of ADD being diagnosed in a child and being prescribed medicine for that ADD is 9 months old. That's the youngest case of ADD. So kids are being put on this medication for their attention deficit disorder practically from birth, which is a really scary thought.
That's actually, incidentally, another thing that Paul Waddell covered in his interview on the show is he goes around and he checks people's houses for a living, right? I think it costs like $450 an hour he charges, and well worth it. Because he goes into these houses and these kids have ADD. And he's like, okay, well, let's check their room. Oh, look, there's a massive power cable that's putting off a huge amount of electromagnetic radiation right next to their head all night long when they sleep, so they can't sleep properly. And then you wonder why they don't have the ability to have a decent concentration and things like that. It's because they're being radiated and poisoned, bro. And so he puts in a couple of changes to their rooms, insulates the cable and things like that. Symptoms go away. How magical is that? Or we could give the child cocaine.
Yeah.
I vote for the cocaine.
Yeah, and
no.
Meanwhile, they're watching television, and they're exposed to something like 40,000 commercials by the time they're 3 years old or something. So they're just getting this rapid fire, just programming in their brains. I mean, no wonder they can't think for themselves. Well, no wonder they can't concentrate, especially in the schooling system, which is brainwashing in itself. I mean, these kids, they show extra energy or they show this inability to focus when they're really just not fitting in with the system. They're just, their energy is not wanting to be there. They don't desire it. They want to be doing something else. They want to be expressing themselves or creating or playing. Instead, they're being brainwashed and taught to be in line and be a sheep and fit into the system and not think for themselves. It's tragic. And then the brainwashing, sorry to not go on for a second, but the brainwashing extends to the teachers as well. Cause I work at a middle school and I deal with, 12, 13, 14 year old kids, and they are rowdy cause they're going through puberty. And the moment a kid shows behavior that is not in line with what they think it should be, the teachers will sit around and discuss the child already as if they have a disorder. They think, he's probably autistic. No, I think he has Asperger's. Oh, no, it's definitely ADD. I think it's ADHD. I mean, this is the way they talk. So the brainwashing is so extensive. And these kids, they don't stand a chance.
Hopefully not. Hopefully some of them will break out of it. Yeah. We need them. We need them to.
Well, I think the importance of just giving a frack about somebody and not trying to put them in the box, not trying to pigeonhole them, is something that's lost on a lot of people. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
People are always trying to label somebody. I love it when people try to label me because 90%, I think probably about 99% of my beliefs, I also hold counter beliefs based upon whatever context. So if they call me racist because I say something, I can show up about maybe 10 other references of something where I've stood up for suppressed racial groups. Or if they call me ignorant or something, I can come up with a thousand references of things that I know that they don't. So they're the ones who are ignorant and so on and so forth. If they say that I try to label everything, I can pull up this conversation and say, you know what, everybody's trying to obsess and label anything and you're trying to label me as somebody who labels people. You know, and this is what I feel is the real joy of life is that everybody's actually really, really unique. And if you try to pigeonhole them and put them in a box, the only reason why you're trying to do it is not to help them, it's to help you make sense of that, because you can't be fracked actually getting to know this person as a person. You can't actually be bothered caring about them because your life and yourself and your own little box is just too fucking important, isn't it? We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guest, Joy Camp. And what were we talking about over the break? I thought it was really important.
I was telling you how I would have been, based on the standards of ADD diagnosis these days, I definitely would have been diagnosed with ADD as a student if I was a kid now. Because I was terrible at paying attention in class. I was the worst. I would drift off every day and I definitely would have been assigned the title of ADD as a child. Thankfully.
You know, it's really ironic, isn't it? We're teaching these kids this really boring stuff that doesn't make any sense, and they drift off. So obviously, that's the kids that have got the problem, not us that are the idiots for teaching them stuff that doesn't make any sense and is really boring.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and the parents are taught to look for problems in their kids. They're taught to look for these symptoms, these signs of disorder, and it's astonishing. It's scary. It's really scary to see.
Isn't that interesting how in the process to correct disorders, they're creating chaos?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they're putting them on medication. They're giving them pills that alter their chemical makeup. I mean, it's so terrifying. I mean, it's out of this world. It's unbelievable that it's happening, but it's on purpose. Obviously, they're trying to stifle the generation behind us before they even get started.
Yeah, and they have no choice. You know, they go to these their kids. They have no say in the matter. They just follow what their parents do, and their parents follow what they're told to do. So they're just stuck, and that's why it makes it that much harder for them to break out of this spell. And that's why I think you go through, to go back to the beginning of our show, this phase of frustration and anger and it's scary and all that, because You've had a lifetime stacked on top of you year after year of being conditioned by this BS. And you have to break out of that. You know, as soon as you're awake, you break out of that. And that's why you go through these crazy, this tornado. You know, you get swooped up by a tornado and spit out on a different end.
You know, and to piggyback on that, on a different note with children, okay, when I was a kid, I used to watch MTV a lot. I was a big MTV fan. I'd watch everything that came on MTV. And you watch popular music now and MTV now, it's so riddled with symbolism and subliminal messages. I feel like they're laying it on right. So thick. I mean, granted, looking back on the MTV that I would watch as a kid, you can see it, but it's more subtle. It's like they don't even care anymore. They're not even trying because they know they can get away with it. They're affecting these kids on a vibrational level too, and subconsciously, and it's in your face. And we can watch, let's say, a Rihanna or a Jay-Z music video and be like, oh yeah, there's Illuminati symbolism. But the kids don't realize that, and that's the target. So they don't care if we see it, but the kids are getting it. They're the ones who are receiving all this information subliminally, and it's scary to see because that was not like that when we were kids.
Mm. And there was another point that you made that I found very interesting, Benny, is that you're an art teacher and you don't even have a proper classroom. You just go, you're going to whatever thing, and it's an elective as well. And I recall a movie called Mr. Holland's Opus, and there was a conversation between Mr. Holland and the principal. And the principal was saying, oh, we need to cut the music budget because when it comes to a choice between reading, writing, and arithmetic, I'll choose the reading, writing, and arithmetic over the art. And Mr. Holland says words to the effect, you know what, you can do that all you want, but eventually the kids won't have anything to read or write about.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the sad thing about my situation or the arts education in my school is that they're lucky that they actually have arts. I mean, most schools don't even have it as an elective, and they actually get it. Granted, they don't have a classroom, which is completely backwards, but at least they have it. And it's sad that we even have to say it like that. I mean, it should be, and I feel like it was more of a requirement when I was a kid. I remember I took a band class and I took a singing class, and this was a part of my public schooling, and now it's an elective. Now you're lucky if you get arts in your education as a kid.
So it's interesting, you know, you pull back a little further from that and you ask the question, well, what does that all mean? Why is it that kids are programmed with meaningless and irrelevant facts and lies made up of history and science and math, et cetera, and yet art, you know, like Benny said, it's lucky if they can even have that as an elective. And if they do, they don't even have a classroom to where they can express their art in it. So it makes you wonder why is art so, for lack of a better word, forbidden in public schooling systems? These are the systems created by these powers that be, and they don't want kids learning art. So what does it tell you about them and their fear of art? It shows, and it's proof of how powerful art is. Art, when someone is artistic and creative and they're good at it and they employ some type of truth within their art, don't you just immediately gain respect for that person? When you see somebody conveying truth and getting people to think while being creative at the same time, you know, I get a little drool down the side of my mouth and I see that and I think, wow, this guy is cool. I want to know who this guy is. So it's proof right there, proof in the pudding, you know, that art is a really, really powerful tool. And if they're not teaching it at public schools, then these kids need to be doing it outside of the public schools.
I would take one step further and refer to it as creativity and not just art, just creativity in general. It's creativity that they're stifling.
Yeah. It's not just painting a picture and writing a song. It's everything combined. Whatever you personally are talented at and have the passion and the drive to do, it's all art and it's all creativity and it's all positive. So if you're a truth seeker and you are also creative, the day you decide to combine those two efforts into one is going to change your life forever.
And might change everybody else's at the same time. And yeah. And what's interesting is, as you were saying that, I recall the psychopath roundtable that we had with Thomas Sheridan, Jay Widener, and James Corbett. We had those three amazing guests all at the same time. And one of the things Thomas Sheridan said, we were talking about careers that psychopaths are likely to be in, and it's power and control structures, you know, like police, lawyers, doctors, politicians, media moguls, that kind of thing. Oh, my God, I'm a media mogul. And they also had a list of places where they're not likely to be, where almost none of them are. Artists and childhood teachers, right? Yep. And then all of a sudden, all the agenda gets laid bare. No wonder they ain't teaching frickin' art in schools, eh? You know, yep. They don't want all of these kids who aren't psychopaths or psychopaths in waiting to have any experience of something that'll prevent them from becoming scumbags. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yep.
Yeah,
it's just a theory of mine.
They don't want us thinking for ourselves. I mean, it's pretty easy to see that they don't want independent thought. They want to produce just worker bees, and that's pretty obvious. I think they.
You know what's hilarious? New Zealand's Parliament building is called the Beehive, and it literally looks like a beehive. And I was just thinking about this. Well, hold on a second. A beehive is controlled by one that is born to rule. And everybody else in the beehive has to obey orders. And if they ever protect themselves or even protect the system, they die as a result.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that's a really powerful metaphor. Who built the beehive? It turns out that it was actually a high-level New Zealand Freemason. Who was having a conversation with another high-level Freemason, who was incidentally the Prime Minister of New Zealand at the time. And in fact, at the time, it was extremely rare and unlikely that you would ever become the Prime Minister if you weren't a Freemason. And I was just, whoa.
The beehive is a popular symbol, too. I mean, that's a really popular symbol. It's on a lot of coat of arms and stuff. Isn't it on, like, the Mormon coat of arms or... Is these coat of arms using the right term? I know that it's a very popular symbol.
Mm. Well, in either case, what it appears like to me is that all of our control structures, like good, decent people like you and me, we don't like having control over people, do we? We actually like having our independence. We like having control over our own selves. We like contributing and giving to other people rather than telling other people what to do and forcing them into it. Yep. You know why? Because we're good, decent people. That's why we people like us very rarely go into politics. That's why we very rarely become huge, massive CEOs with inordinate quantities of power. And incidentally, that's why the entire country is and the world itself is run by a bunch of freaking psychos. You know, it's really sad, isn't it? Because people like us don't want to run for politics and get a position of absolute power and domination where we can drone strike people with a little red button and have no apps and have no moral conscience about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Going to be a part of the system that way, you really can't change it. You can't change. I don't think you can be a politician and, you know, change the game. You have to be outside of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it's foolish, you know. People like, oh, there's just a few bad apples. No, you're the good apple jumping into the bad barrel, son.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're cooking you up, man. And that's what happens. And that was something that also really intrigued me about the psychopath roundtable that we had, was that it's actually an infection. You can actually become a psychopath if you have contact with a psychopath for long enough. If they exert enough influence on you, they can actually take all of that empathy, all of that thing that really makes you a human being, all of that heart that you have, all of that creativity, they can actually infect you and eradicate it from you and turn you into one of them.
Absolutely. Well, right now, going on right now, just north of San Francisco is the Bohemian Grove gathering where they literally cremate care. They cremate the effigy of care. They actually go through this practice, this ritual of cremating care. I mean, think about that for a second. They are abandoning themselves of dull care.
Be gone, dull care.
Yeah, they're ridding themselves of this feeling of care, this concern, empathy. I mean, they're really doing this, and they're open about it.
We just made a video about the Bohemian Grove that we released a couple of days ago. If anyone would like to go check that out, we have our little own spin on that.
You know, I do have a TV on the back here, and we could play it on air. We'll do that next segment. How long is it?
A minute
and a half, or a minute 15 seconds even.
Oh, okay. Well, in the meantime, in that case, we could probably play it this segment, and I'll just try and chuck it up. If you just chuck me the link through the Skype here, I can chuck it up on the TV behind us and play it for the listening audience, huh? That'd be nice. And also, the other thing that I wanted to stress to people is that this system isn't just isolated to America, okay? Many people listening probably don't know that the Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve and everything, I think it was a couple of years back when Bohemian Grove was going on, he took a trip to northern San Francisco right at the time that Bohemian Grove was going on. And I found that was particularly interesting. Interesting? What is the likelihood? What is the frickin' likelihood, really, that one of the leaders of a country goes to Bohemian Grove at a time that it's on and he ain't actually there to participate in the cremation of care? All right, so without further ado, it's an Israel reference. We're going to play this little video for you guys here. Let me see if I can get the settings all sorted. There we are. All right. Let's get the show under the way.
Great.
Oh, come on, baby. Don't do this to me.
A 45-foot high stone owl ready to sacrifice an effigy is Mola, the great horned giant Babylonian pagan fire god mascot of the Bohemian Grove. Watch Moloch's annual ritualistic thrill show spectacular, The Creation of the Mayor. Businessmen, bankers, politicians, and presidents side by side, ridding themselves of no care. For 2 weeks in July, the elite are out to cross-dress, drink wine, and touch penises. That's right, it's Men-O-Rama. This hooded robe, satanic summer camp with skulls is men only. Get down and dirty in the woods. This gourmet food.
A barbecue. A baby barbecue. You want to barbecue the babies.
Remember, we need spiders. Come down here.
Mr. Durgan, say hi to Moloch for me. Canaanite deity. I'll see you at Eyes Wide Shut, baby.
Located at 20601 Bohemian Avenue, just up the 12 freeway in Monte Rio. Exactly 75.2 miles north of San Francisco. Turn right on Fulton, left on Occidental, right at Green Hill, another left at Brighton, right at Bohemian Highway, and Bulma right at Bohemian Avenue, and you're there!
Brought to you by MK
Ultra. Be control. Be Ultra. There you have it. That's brilliant, guys. That's freaking funny.
Thanks, man.
That, you know, that one... That is not a funny subject, the Bohemian Grove. That is not... Oh, sorry, we got a helicopter flying overhead here. Not totally uncommon in Los Angeles.
Sorry. No. It's totally because of the Bohemian Grove video. You know, the New World Order is like listening into the Vinnie Eastwood show, and they go, oh, my God, these guys are playing a video about my God, Moloch, let's fly something over their head and think about it.
Yeah, that's a really dark subject. You know, I'm sitting here, you know, we're working on this thing and editing it and watching just videos and reading. And if it's true and what's really going on there, if they are really, let's say, sacrificing a real human being there. And there is that famous video
plenty of rumors.
It does sound like someone is screaming in the video. And, you know, there's really no way to prove it outside of the video. But nonetheless, if it is true, it's a very dark, creepy subject. The fact that these old white rich men who obtain some degree of power and wealth in this world are gathering together, no women, stay-at-home ladies, and you know, they're deciding the fate of other humans throughout the world while they're playing their little games up there is a very creepy subject.
And,
so,
and literally cremating care. I mean, regardless of the rumors, like, they're really doing that.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's the final segment here with Joy Camp. Have you guys got a website again there? Or just go to the YouTube channel, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we own the domain name www.thejoycamp.com, but it'll take you straight to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/thejoycamp. Please, please check us out. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Befriend me, befriend Kevin on Facebook. We're nice guys. We like to expand our friendship, our online friendship. So please, yeah. YouTube.com/thejoycamp.
We got over 30 videos that range from fluoride.
36 videos, to the exact.
Fluoride to Bohemian Grove to Bilderberg to, my goodness, the royal family.
The RFID chip.
Drones. We're just covering one subject at a time and trying to make light of them, trying to make them accessible to people that aren't part of the choir that we preach to, trying to reel some of those people in from across the end and bring them onto our side, you know? So have at it. Have fun.
And ladies, if you're listening, I'm single.
Yeah, and that was actually a concept that we were talking about over the break. It's really hard for truther guys to find a truther girl out there, you know? It actually really is hard. Because, I don't know.
I mean, we're in Los Angeles where there are beautiful people everywhere. But to try to find a girl, a female, a woman who is, you know, independently thinking for herself and not caught up in the vanity and the status of this place is... so far has been impossible for me.
Yeah, but again, it comes into the problem of pigeonholing. Like when I first met my Mrs. Sarah, she wasn't a truther. I mean, she's a little bit different to most girls. Like she could see auras and spirits and stuff like that on occasion, but she didn't. And she'd been taught about the New World Order just through her Christian family and that kind of thing. But she wasn't a truther. She wasn't really into any of this stuff. And at the time that I met her, I wasn't really into it either. And it's been a couple of years now. Like I think our anniversary is the 23rd of next month. And it'll be 7 years. And what I found very interesting is that over time, I've, you know, developed from what I was to who I am now, probably the most popular truther conspiracy theorist in New Zealand, and one of the only ones really to be doing videos and a radio show. And she's actually really developed with me. I mean, it took her a while to kind of wake up at thing because she hadn't been busted by the cops like I had. That if you ever want to wake somebody up, call the cops on them with false pretenses, and the cops will arrest them, process them, and convict them anyway. Right? That's a surefire way to get you fracked off with the system, yo. I'm not recommending people do this, obviously, but you know, it works. And you can't fault something that works. And what I find really awesome is that she, despite the fact that she wasn't a truther, now she is, okay? And I see her yelling at the television, and I was like, oh, my baby, that's so cute. And I see her, she goes, oh, look, there's an Illuminati all-seeing eye. And I was like, I love it when my baby notices the Illuminati symbolism.
You're living out my fantasy, man. That's my dream.
Yeah, it was just like, damn, that's so sexy when you notice that New World Order symbolism. That gets my juices flowing.
it sounds so nice.
Too true.
Yeah, it is awesome. And, you know, for the first couple of years or something, I barely even acknowledged her her name, you know. Like, whenever I'd say, like I call her Sarah now, but for the first couple of years, whenever I'd refer to her to anybody else, it was always referred to as M-MRS, Mrs. And that was pretty much it, bro. And now that it's kind of developed the relationship, something's a hell of a lot better. But I've said for a long time, there really does need to be a truther dating site in it because it's so hard to find girls like that, man.
I was just thinking about that the other day, thinking that if I knew, you know, coding, if I knew how to design websites, the perfect one to create would be a networking site for truthers, for people who, you know, who are like us.
For truthers who want to get it on.
And not just for, it could be for dating, but could also just be for, you know, to establish a network amongst ourselves. To connect people, like a Facebook for truthers. I think that'd be
Truthers have already taken over Facebook as far as I'm concerned.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, my truther friends are starting to outweigh my other reality friends by the day. I mean, I like that.
You have other reality friends?
From my past, you know, people I went to school with or whatever. But it's always interesting to see that when you see, like, when an event occurs or something. Let's say most recently Kate's baby, right? So you see the contrasting viewpoints. You see half of these people making fun of it and making fun of the royal family and posting videos about it being a reptile child. And then you see the other half who are like, oh, joyous day. The princess has given birth. Oh, great. I hope they name it Charles. Like all this kind of crap. So I see both of these in my wall.
Reptile child. I think I hear a song in the works here.
Or just a really good poem.
The vile reptile child with a bile and a something with a bile duct in there somewhere. I don't know.
Gotta have bile in there at least.
Yeah.
Vile, bile, the reptile child. All right.
There it is.
There, you wrote it.
The song just wrote itself.
Better trademark
it. All right. Let me just quickly add that before I forget. The vile bile duct of the reptile child. Named Chuck.
Chucky.
Yeah.
Baby Chuck.
Yeah. And how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
See, there you go. Tongue twister. Tongue twisted up.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, actually, the most difficult tongue twister I've ever heard in my life was... try this with me. Say wristwatch.
Oh, I know this one.
Benny's really good at tongue twisters.
I'm a big fan of tongue twisters. Wristwatch. Which wristwatch? There are Swiss wristwatches.
Is that now say Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch.
He's very good.
How about this? Ready? She stood on the balcony, inexplicably mimicking him, hiccuping, whilst amicably welcoming him in.
Okay.
Hang on. Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch.
This is Kevin. Irish wristwatch.
Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
I'm an actor. I'm from the theater. I love tongue twisters.
I am not. I'm not very good at them. But I try, and that's all that matters is trying.
Yeah. You ever notice sometimes when you're doing your lines or something, and it's like there's just some kind of a block, like you know the line, yet somehow, it, like the, from the brain to the mouth, it just comes out like...
Yep, every day of my life.
And it's quite funny when that happens as well. And it's like, that's why I like Jackie Chan movies, is because at the end of every Jackie Chan movie, they've always got these outtakes, these bloopers. And one of the funniest one was Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker in Rush Hour towards the very end. And Chris Tucker's got to say Chinese for thank you, I think it's Xie Xie Ni. And he goes, Ni Xie Xie. And Jackie Chan's just laughing at him. And he's like, I can't believe it. My English, you can't even say three words. you got to have fun, man. And that's also what I like about actors and creative people in general is that, man, they have a hell of a lot of fun on set, bro. Seriously. I mean, even though it's some of the hardest work you'll ever do, you know, 14-hour days and that kind of thing.
That's my career, and I love it. I love working. It's really fun. And I mean, the rewards are great, but... trying to balance between that and trying to speak the truth is difficult. We'll see what happens.
Well, and again, this is something that I really want to help develop in the future is, you know how you got this current system and it's all about promoting scumbaggery, debauchery, stupidity, so on and so forth. I say, because that system's no longer relevant, we create a new system and we're going to create everything that currently exists in the current system has to have a replacement for it created in the new system. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You've got to have intelligent movies written by intelligent people who are actually really clever, who are actually funny, you know? Because I every now and again you watch a sitcom and you know that a sitcom's not funny when the studio audience laughs and you don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's We wouldn't mind going mainstream with what we do. I mean, I think that these, where we're at right now, these issues that we deal with in our videos are becoming more mainstream and becoming less taboo. And I think that we could, I could feasibly see Joy Camp on something like Comedy Central or Adult Swim doing exactly what we do now, but with a network and reaching a larger audience. I think that's definitely within reason.
Yeah, well, let's hope psychopathic executives from Comedy Central see this show and go, you know what, these guys are actually really onto it. They're funny, they're fantastic, they got great philosophy. Let's get them on the show. Let's give them a slot on the network.
Yes, that's what we're hoping from this particular interview.
Yeah, I doubt it, but you know. This show's not really that popular, and it dawned on me actually yesterday, as little as yesterday, that I'll never be the most popular show on air. But whenever I complain about people that are messing with me, the amount of people that show up to support me is so overwhelming. So even though I may not be the most popular on mass show, the people who are loyal listeners to this show are like the most loyal listeners in talk radio. And I just want to thank all of you for listening, for sharing this broadcast, for getting it out there. And also want to thank you guys from Joy Camp, Benny and Kevin, for coming on with me today. And the website for them is thejoycamp.com, which is linked to youtube.com/thejoycamp. Guys, it's been a pleasure and an honor and various other nice adjectives too. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, yes, man. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, man.
Bring us back soon.
Mm-mm-mm. Will do. Will do. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind this is a listener-supported broadcast, so if you're capable of supporting it, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood isn't go ahead. Make my news. And make a donation. Make a $5 donation a month if you can by clicking the subscribe button through the Illuminati Control PayPal, which you can then incidentally fund an operation like the Vinny Eastwood Show that exposes the Illuminati. Isn't that great? We'll be right back at some other time.